Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington.
And I'm Nabil Biaja, also in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, November 11th, 2014. IGAD heads of state press President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar to reach a peace deal within 2 weeks or face sanctions.
We have made a bold move for us to accept Salva Kiir to be the president in the interim period and for him to lead the nation and for him also to chair the Council of Ministers. This means that we have given him everything. We have given him, he is now the head of the state and the head of government.
And civil society groups and faith-based groups react to the proposed agreement.
SPLA in opposition and SPLA should be joined together and should be under one command and should be called with the name South Sudan Army. These are the reforms I want to see so that they will have one identity as army that are serving one nation.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus.
Two days after President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar met in Addis Ababa with mediators of the East African Bloc, Intergovernmental Authority for Development, or IGAD, a breakthrough was announced in agreeing on a planned interim period for South Sudan. The SPLM in opposition says it is not ready to concede more than it did during the last week's IGAD summit meeting. The two sides have been given 2 weeks to agree to the conditions of face sanction that include arms embargo, asset freeze, and travel ban. The chief opposition negotiator to the talks told journalists they have agreed to incumbent President Salva Kiir leading the transitional government and to Riek Machar serving as prime minister, but they did not accept the proposed positions of vice president and two deputy prime minister in the transitional government structure. Iskander Friu reports from Addis Ababa, where Taban Dengai convened the press conference.
Speaking to journalists at a news conference in Addis Ababa today, chief opposition negotiator Taban Dengai said the power sharing agreement reached on Friday night is not yet complete.
We managed to strike a deal on the power sharing between the president and the prime minister. What we are against is what is being proposed by the government of South Sudan, that the structure to implement this agreement to us, it should be the president, the prime minister, and the council of ministers. This is our proposal. The government is proposing that the leadership of the transitional government should be president, vice president, prime minister, and three deputies to prime minister. This is what I was saying. That will lead into confusion. And as I said earlier, too many cooks is spoil the broth.
Guy says the positions of the vice president and two deputies to the prime minister would complicate the working relationship between President Kiir and Machar during the transitional period. He insists Mr. Kiir is getting everything he wants.
We have made a bold move. For us to accept Salva Kiir to be the president in the interim period and for him to lead the nation and for him also to chair the Council of Ministers. This means that we have given him everything. We have given him, he is now the head of the state and the head of government. We have nothing to concede more. We are informing the public here that to us, this position of a president, prime minister, is structured. To us, is a red go-no area.
The deal calls for partial withdrawal of all foreign forces within 30 days from the signing of the document. Full withdrawal is to be completed when a final ceasefire is signed. The breakthrough on the power-sharing negotiation followed a two-day summit of IGAD heads of state and government attended by several leaders. It was designed to clear the way for an end to the more than 10-month-old crisis in South Sudan. The government of South Sudan and SPLM-A in opposition have been granted an additional 15 days to conduct consultations with their respective constituencies before the agreement would go into effect. For VOA News, I'm Iskander Freo from Addis Ababa.
A South Sudanese political analyst who works for the Sud Institute says a key cause of the fighting in South Sudan is the existence of several armed forces that are loyal to different leaders. Niall Tidmamer says the peace agreement that does not focus on security reforms will not last. Titmamer says if there is to be lasting peace in South Sudan, it is essential for all the different forces in the country to be integrated into one national army.
The reason why we are in this problem is because technically we are two different armies or soldiers loyal to different people. In the last 10 years, all the forces were not well integrated and not well organized to be professional soldiers. So if it is really true that, then it is a huge risk, of course.
Titmamer says if stability and peace are to be maintained in South Sudan, the army has to be separated from politics.
Political argument is normal in any society, but it is not allowed to spill over to the military space or to tribal space. If you want to argue about issues, it is normal politics. But if you involve the army, then it is not politics anymore. It is violence. And this is what we should be really careful in the next period. Whenever we reach any agreement, we must make sure that the army is separated from politics.
Titmamer says the people of South Sudan are skeptical that the warring parties will actually respect their latest recommittal to the secession of hostilities agreement, which was originally signed in January. For the people of South Sudan to believe that the fighting will cease, the warring sides need to put their words into action.
There is no way we can believe them, because believing is through practice. You know, you believe something when you know the previous action took place. For example, the previous promise took place. That's when you start to believe that the next action will take place or the next promise will be fulfilled. So this time around, we can wait until we see the things done as promised.
Titmamer says the transitional government needs to focus on delivering services to the people of South Sudan rather than on who holds which powers in the government.
There are specific duties that could be given to the prime minister. That may not really amount to real executive powers, but at the same time, they can keep the agreement moving forward, and they can prepare the country for real reforms, if we need reforms, for elections and for other things, and for the establishment of institutions. Because if we are focusing on power during the transitional period, then we are missing the whole point.
Titmamer says administrative reforms are needed so that desperately needed services can be delivered to the people of South Sudan. Nial Titmamer, who is a member of the South Sudanese think tank Sut Institute, says any peace agreement that does not focus on the proper security reforms will not last. Titmamer says to avoid any future political conflict in South Sudan, the two warring parties should consider the reintegration of all the forces into one national army.
The leader of one of the main opposition parties in South Sudan says there is a need to There need to be many changes in South Sudan to ensure a lasting peace in the country. Lama Kol, the head of the SPLM-DC opposition party, also says other stakeholders besides the warring parties need to be involved in the talks to bring about those changes. Philip Thonaleu reports from Juba.
Akol says as part of his proposal to resolve the 11-month-old conflict will be to have a president from the ruling SPLM and a prime minister from Machar's SPLM in position at the head of a transitional government. He says negotiators representing the two parties need to agree on what powers the two principals should have. Other stakeholders need to take part in talks about the future of South Sudan, Akol says. They will have a lot of work to do, he says.
We are talking about a drastic reform in the state structure, because we don't believe that the war is only about what happened in the middle of December. No. We think that the mistakes that have accumulated since the 2005, when the government of South Sudan took over, the failures that have built up are the one that exploded on the 15th of December 2013.
Akol says issues of governance, service delivery to the people, and freedom of the press and expression need to be discussed. There is also a need to stamp out corruption and reform security structure to make it more inclusive, Akol says. He says there should have been a clear split between the ruling SPLM and the army, or the SPLA, after independence.
You have an army which is belonging to one party, one political party, and also which is not balanced. It cannot be a national army. The question of security arrangements. How do you transform the army, the security, the police, and the rest? All these things are the things we want to be corrected, so that you have a South Sudan that you can call a country that belongs to all of us.
The SPLM is an offshoot of the SPLA, which fought for 2 decades for independence from Khartoum. When the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, or CPA, was signed in 2005, former SPLM rebels found themselves in control in what was then Southern Sudan. They remained in control when South Sudan became independent in 2011. Akol says, although the ongoing conflict in South Sudan started mainly as a power struggle within the ruling SPLM party, all stakeholders in South Sudan need to be part of a solution.
The harmony between our communities have been affected. Is it not an issue that concerns all of us? And the failures of the government, we have been talking about them. Since that this government is not doing what it's supposed to do in terms of delivering services to the people, in terms of stopping corruption, in terms of diversifying the sources of our economy. These are things that must be corrected this time. They cannot wait again. We must solve our problem once and for all.
Akol says the list of issues that need to be resolved is long.
These are issues that do not need a long time. They need a good and a strong will. I don't need a long time to say, let us direct our resources to education and health. Health is getting only 4% of the budget. Education, 5%. If you want to develop, you talk of prosperity. Prosperity doesn't come without education.
Akol, who was prevented by government to travel to Ethiopia in September to participate in peace talks led by IGAD, says he hopes the government will leave that trouble ban and allow him, as well as leaders of other political parties, to be able to attend discussions about South Sudan's future. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we have more developments on the peace agreement in Addis Ababa. Stay tuned.
South Sudan In Focus listeners can find us on the following shortwave frequencies: 11900, 13870, and 15180 kHz. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan, or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan In Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your priority in life?
My priority in life is just to change the life of people. I'm living in Africa where I see people, we have poverty and we are lacking in skills. And I am looking for a way to see how I can intervene and bring a little change into their life.
My priority in life is to be the CEO of my own company.
My priority in life is to see that I get the best out of life, doing what I already do, which is serving humanity. I want to always be available to help people, to help them achieve their dreams. That's my priority in life.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Members of civil society and faith-based groups in South Sudan have welcomed the pledge by warring parties to resolve outstanding issues and form a transitional government within 15 days. However, key observers in both sectors cautioned the creation of two separate armies in the new government could push the country back to where the conflict began with deadly violence. From Juba, Mungume Davis Rakarinj files this report.
David Ali Tibo chairs the Youth Empowerment and Advocates Forum, and is also a member of National Youth Dialogue Platform. From his vantage point, between two organizations that unite young people for common goals, Tibo believes the creation of two separate armies would defeat the purpose of achieving peace.
If you have two armies, then that one is a clear indication that there is an opportunity that people may slip back to war. So the best is to reintegrate this army and become a unified national army.
James Hitler, the spokesperson for the Community for Empowerment for Progress organization, agrees.
SPLA in opposition and SPLA should be joined together and should be under one command and should be called with the name South Sudan Army. These are the reforms I want to see so that they will have one identity as army that are serving one nation so that peace can really be attained.
The two parties agreed to cease hostilities and recommitted to an earlier agreement signed in January. But over the weekend, there were reports of renewed fighting in Upper Nile State. Both Thibault and Hitler say any transitional government should be a system that focuses on service delivery for the people. Thibault says the interim government should ensure services are equally distributed from the national and state level.
The system that these two warring parties would agree, which will suit the interests of the people of South Sudan, is what we will go for. But I want to say that devolution of powers and resources to the country, whatever language they would want to call it, because the current system has actually failed to deliver the resources needed.
Bishop Martin Moga Ifoga, head of the Africa Inland Church in Juba, says the church will not take a position on matters relating to South Sudan's system of governance. But he says the church embraces democratic principles.
We cannot accept dictatorship, but we can accept coming together faithfully and also with understanding in love. So we are ready to stand behind them as a neutral person, not to be standing with one part, but we will be totally neutral to look at implementation and also to address the issues. If it's not going well, we can meet the president and we can make also the SPLM in opposition. We cannot leave them alone to struggle.
Moga says his church is developing a strategy related to the aftermath of war. He says the faith-based community is concentrating its efforts on nurturing unity and reconciliation among all South Sudanese.
Now we are organizing ourselves to reach the people who have been traumatized during this war, that we will stand together to bring them, to a new life again, rather than leaving them with that wounds of suffering, wounds of struggling for life. So we are ready to stand together to see that South Sudan remain in peace.
For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
Within days of President Kiir and Riek Machar's meeting in Addis Ababa, fighting broke out again in Upper Nile State. As Charlton Doki in Juba reports for VOA, the South Sudanese Army spokesman says nearly 30 people died and dozens of others were wounded.
Military spokesman Colonel Philip Aguer says the rebels launched an attack on government positions in Dukduk, also known as Yeth Adwai, in northern Upper Nile State near the Sudan border early this morning.
The SPLA lost 5 heroes killed in action and 21 wounded. On the side of the rebels, 24 dead bodies were counted on the ground, and the SPLA was able to capture 2 rebels alive. In terms of weapon captured, 1 RBG-7, 1 PKM, 1 sniper rifle, and 14 AKM-47 rifles.
Aguer says government forces had intelligence information that rebels had been planning today's attack for some time.
The attack began at 4 a.m., with artillery shelling, and at 5:45, the base was attacked by a force of 2 battalions, and the SPLA defeated the attackers. The attackers were commanded by Brigadier General Peter Lim, who is the commander of forces of the headquarters of Riek Machar. That was the brigadier that broke away here in Juba.
But a statement from the rebels spokesman says government forces started the fighting in Upper Nile State. Brigadier General Lul Ruai Kong, spokesman for the SPLA in opposition, states that at dawn, Mr. Kiir's forces attacked Dukduk and Jerbena, north and northeast of Renk County in Upper Nile State. He says Fome Al-Zarif, the administrative headquarters of Fangak County in northern Jonglei State, was also under attack by government forces. Meanwhile, Aguer says government forces repulsed the attackers, who he says returned to a place called Tibun, which is a Sudan Armed Forces military base along the Upper Nile State border with Sudan. Aguer says he believes the rebels are regrouping to launch more attacks on government positions.
SPLA is in full control of these areas, and SPLA is monitoring another preparation near Maban. That is a potential area of rebels that may be attacking the SPLA in time to come.
Aguer says despite today's fighting, government forces remain committed to the cessation of hostilities agreement, but in the same breath warns the SPLA will fight back whenever it's attacked. He blames Machar and his commanders for the ongoing bloodshed.
If there are beneficiaries of this war, they may be outsiders and few of the elite that lost their position in the government, and they would like to use the blood of the poor innocent people to come back to their position on the top of the government. The SPLA will not allow this to continue.
Aguer says the war must end because it's consuming resources and killing innocent civilians, including women and children. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. At least 48 people have been killed in a suicide bombing at a school in northeastern Nigeria. Many of them were students. The blast occurred today in the town of Potiskum in the state of Yobe as students gathered for a morning assembly at a government-run secondary school focused on science. Medical workers say at least 79 people were injured in the blast, many of them seriously. Iran, the United States, and the European Union are in a second day of talks in Oman as a deadline for a comprehensive nuclear agreement with Tehran approaches. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, and European Union Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton were trying to reach a deal today ahead of the looming November 24th deadline. But there were no signs of a breakthrough, and key obstacles still remain. Heading into the evening session of talks, Zarif said he believes they will make progress, quote, eventually, end quote. And finally, following an address to the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation CEO Summit in Beijing today, U.S. President Barack Obama took part in an extravagant welcome banquet at China's 2008 Olympic venue. Mr. Obama joined the other regional leaders as they gathered for the state banquet at the Water Cube, the swimming venue for the 2008 Games. The U.S. president and other leaders were greeted by China's President Xi Jinping and his wife. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
Officials in Khartoum say the killing of two presidential guards just outside the presidential palace on Friday was a random incident and was not politically motivated. Sudan Information Minister Ahmed Bilal says Salah Kuwa, who killed the two guards before he was shot dead by other presidential guards, appeared to be mentally ill. He tells me that the incident happened when Kuwa tried to forcibly enter the presidential palace in Khartoum on Friday evening.
It is not permitted for people to go inside the palace. He wants to go inside. And he argued with the guards and they prevent him. And then he went outside and then he came again. And he was carrying a sword. And then he killed one of the guards. He took his arm and then he fired on another one and killed him. And after that, they came and shot him and he was killed, unfortunately. He killed two and he was killed.
How did he manage to kill two armed presidential guards?
In fact, actually, this is something very rare. Nobody will expect that somebody was not armed and he could come and then he took out a sword and killed someone with this weapon, and he took his armed weapon and then he shot the other one. And this is almost in few minutes happened. Some sort of a surprise.
Why did he want to get into the presidential palace?
In fact, it's not actually inside the presidential office. There is a road and a pathway through the office outside. And now it is like changed. And if somebody comes, well, it is not permitted. In the past, if you come with your car, you can pass. But now there is not permitted for a car or somebody walking. In fact, even in the past, if you come on feet, it's not allowed. If you come with a car, you can pass.
So we have a very determined man here. He's told to go away, and then he goes away, he comes back, and he's very determined, and he kills two presidential guards. That he has a very strong motive.
That's why they said that he might be insane or something like that.
You know, insane or not, he had a very strong motive, right?
Can you tell me about that man who came up in the White House? Inside the White House, and he wants to go inside. What is his motive? What's the motivation of that? I'm just telling you, these people who usually go to these places, what is the motive of that? That the one who came to the Queen 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks, and inside have our sleeping room, and that one who come over the wall in the White House and came inside. What are the motives?
I understand what you're saying, Mr. Ahmed Bilal.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me just refer you to the statement by Al-Sawar Mikhalid Saad, the army spokesman. He said, you know, an investigation revealed that the man was from southern Kurdistan, a man by the name Salah Kafi Kuwa. And some people say the incident was politically motivated, since southern Kurdistan is the region where rebels are fighting the
this
government.
Is the opposition.
Of
this is the allegation of the opposition, because his name is Kafi Kuwa, and he's from Kadugli. They are saying this. But in fact, he can be anybody else. But because he's from Kadugli, and actually he's not living in Kadugli, he's living in the center of in Jazeera, in Rufaa.
That was Ahmed Bilal, Sudan Information Minister, speaking to me from Khartoum earlier today. Sudan President Omar al-Bashir was not at the presidential palace at the time the incident took place.
Nabil, thank you for that report, and that brings us to the end of our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Ceasefire by Kebas featuring Young Bow.
We need some peace, y'all. Harmony is what you're dying for. Yep.
Zeta Duban, Junuk Sudan, Bele Jamil wa Aziz, Lakisi Yasa Shilu Nasfa, Ukata Zaman, Nina Kulana Kan Machine, Leki Dam, Shuf Shabab Bimud, Yal Bimud, Bejian, Metalga, Ofof Kaman, Kuli Yama Halbika, Mama Bikore,
Yarabi,
we want peace.
Not solved. All I see is children dying. No orphans every day. I see the mothers crying. Lay a drama. Zaman kan jakela na bin belet na binia. Mia feel mia bada mendin fadia lakin gibu katia. Zaman to will mater go funia. Stop the eye of peace. Peace and love is what you're looking for. We're dying for equality. Dying for humanity, prosperity and justice. Stop the bloodshed. Give a chance to the little ones to build this young nation. We need motivation, education for the Nasmut Kadir, my back there, that for Bill. The fish is so bright, I need some sun or shade.
We've been listening to Kebas featuring Young Bao with the song Ceasefire. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
And I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could be here. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
I see no reason to cry, no reason to suffer so much.